Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Socks, a Catholic book blogger. Today we have with us Father Donald Calloway. He is Vicar Provincial and Vocation Director for the Mother of Mercy Province of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. He's the author of 14 books and leads pilgrimages to Marian shrines around the world. He resides in Steubenville, Ohio, and today we're going to discuss his new book, Consecration to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father. Welcome to the show, Father Donald.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. First off, I have to say, bravo, great book. I'm actually going through the consecration now, but in prep for this interview, I actually did read through the whole thing. Fantastic. What inspired you to develop this consecration to St. Joseph?
Well, you know, the times right now are crazy. So we've got a lot of confusion about marriage and the family. And Sister Lucia dos Santos, you know, the longest-lived visionary of the Fatima apparitions, she once said the final battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be over marriage and family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought to myself, you know, as Christians, we're totally consecrated to our Lord by our baptism. And many of us have made a devotional consecration to the Virgin Mary, our spiritual mother. But I thought, you know, where's St. Joseph? We need him. I mean, to close the gap, to, you know, be consecrated to every member of the Holy Family. And that'll greatly help us, I think, with this confusion about marriage and the family. So I looked for something, and I couldn't find it. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do it myself. Mm-hmm. So I spent 3 years putting the whole consecration program together.
So I, as many probably did, followed along on social media as you updated us on the progress of the book, at least for the last year up to its published date. Can you share with us some of the challenges you faced while writing this? You did post some of those, and I thought there was definitely something pushing back at you to prevent this from happening.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be honest. I mean, I've been a Catholic for 26 years. I've been a priest for 16, and this is the most difficult thing that I've ever done. I knew that the devil was no fan of St. Joseph, but I had no idea that the devil hated St. Joseph this much.
Mm-hmm.
There was just persecution. There was all kinds of craziness going on with, you know, certain people trying to prevent it, trying to obstruct it, all kinds of difficulties. And I just about gave up at one point. I had to surrender it to the Lord and say, Lord, I thought this is what you wanted me to do. And if it's not, well, it's going to kill me to let it go, but I'm willing to let this die. And that hurt, man. Oh, my goodness, that hurt. But the Lord, I think, honored that, and now it's available, it's fruitful, and it's, man, it's spreading like wildfire.
Yeah, I was going to say that. From what I've been seeing, it's really been spreading quite rapidly. But we touched upon this just a little bit in the first question, but maybe get a little deeper into it. Simple but complex question, why Joseph and why now? We already have a consecration to Mary, and you mentioned about, you know, both can be done, but why now and why another consecration?
Well, basically, the church in the last 150 years has done more to promote St. Joseph than it has in the previous 1800 years of Christianity. So we've developed a better theology of St. Joseph and brought him more to the forefront instead of just in the background. And I think now he's really needed because, you know, we've got this just a mess of things in the world and even in the church in many, many ways. We've got so much confusion, division, chaos. And when that happens in a house, you need the father of the house to restore order. So that's why I think now is the time of St. Joseph. We need him, the head of the Holy Family and our spiritual father, to help us to get back to the basics and to restore order to the chaos that we're living in.
Absolutely. So Joseph never speaks in the Gospels. He doesn't appear very often either, and they don't really tell us much about his death. In light of his hiddenness in Scripture, was it difficult for you to find the information to compile this particular book?
Actually, it wasn't that difficult because, you know, there are certain figures in the Old Testament that we can look at and compare with our Joseph. You know, the patriarch Joseph, for example, in the Old Testament, how he found himself in Egypt, and then it was because of his stewardship of the granaries in Egypt that he was able to feed basically the world at that time with his provision. So, you know, our Joseph took our bread, Jesus, into Egypt from Herod. Mm-hmm. And it was there that he brought him out of Egypt and helped Jesus to fulfill his mission until Joseph died. And it's thanks to Joseph that we have the living bread. You know, he protected it for us. He sheltered it for us. So those kind of things, there's other examples in the Scriptures. But then, you know, what saints have written and prayed about, mystics, popes, apparitions of St. Joseph, religious communities founded by St. Joseph. So there's actually more material than you think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we'll get into a lot of that here today. There are some great snippets in the book, and this particular quote jumped out early on. And that is, quote, "If you want to be a member of the Trinitarian family in heaven, you need to be a child of Joseph on earth," end quote. Can you unpack that one a bit for us and why it's so important to be a child of St. Joseph?
Yeah, because, you know, the second person of the Blessed Trinity could have come to us already formed as a 33-year-old man coming from the clouds of heaven as the Messiah ready to save us, but that's not what he did. He chose to come into the world through a marriage of Mary and Joseph. And though Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus, he was his father in affection, in love, and moral authority. And so if our Lord did that, if Jesus submitted himself to the authority of Mary and Joseph, and if we're brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, we need to imitate him on that. We need to welcome Mary and Joseph into our lives and allow them to educate us, to help us. And that's how we enter into the Holy Family. And that's a preparation for entering into the greater family, which is the Holy Trinity in heaven. And so if we start doing this here on earth, I mean, it's basically the gateway to heaven.
Mm-hmm. That's a great insight. I think all of us need to understand and appreciate. A major portion of this book, obviously, it's the 30-day consecration part. But another portion of the book are these the wonders of St. Joseph. There's 10 of them, 10 chapters, and you even reflected it as essentially being a second book. And I'd like to cover some of them in our time together today because they're so rich in content. And in that first wonder, you refer to Joseph as the light of saints. So what can the saints teach us about Joseph?
Yeah, I mean, he really is. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed and actually it'd be impossible to find a single saint who didn't love him and honor him. Some more than others, of course, but no saint ever disliked him. And, you know, they look to him and his virtues because just like we know biologically, all children resemble their parents. You know, if my mother was here, you know, and you saw my face and you saw hers, you'd say, wow, you look just like your mother. And it's true. Well, you know, St. Joseph is not our biological father, just like he was not the biological father of Jesus. But Jesus himself learned things from him And we can learn those things too. And that's what the saints teach us is, you know, the best way to honor St. Joseph is to want to be like him. And so they delight in him, and they say, I want to be patient like him. I want to be obedient like him. I want to be trusting like him. And that applies to us too.
Absolutely. We have a lot more to unpack in the book, Consecration to St. Joseph. We'll be right back with Father Donald Conloway. You're listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media.
I have a quiz for you. What is one of the greatest gifts parents can give to their children? It's something children ask for often. When this gift is received, the entire family is incredibly joyful and transformed on the special occasion of the arrival of this masterpiece. This gift calls for faith, courage, and generosity on the part of the givers. It lasts for many decades, only getting better, changing, and developing each day. This magnificent gift is unique and can never be repeated, but a similar gift can be added approximately every year. This gift can only be given by three persons agreeing and acting. Have you guessed it yet? Yes, this profound gift is that of welcoming another child. And the three persons agreeing are husband, wife, and God. I'm Jim Littleton, forming faithfulfamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We're spending it today with Father Donald Conloway, and we're talking about his book, Consecration to St. Joseph. And Father, we left last segment off talking about that first chapter, the wonder or the delight of saints, the first wonder of the 10 that you have in the book. And also in that chapter, you discuss St. Joseph's oratory and St. André Bessette, who, while he was alive, was somewhat mocked for his dedication to St. Joseph. Can you tell us a bit about his personal struggles and what André Bessette did to promote St. Joseph?
Yeah, he was an extraordinary guy because he was just a simple guy. I mean, he wasn't terribly educated and, you know, he never became a priest. He always remained a brother. But, you know, he did extraordinary things. And he was just a doorkeeper, the porter. You know, he answered the door at one of his community's houses. And people, though, recognized in him great holiness. And he always told them, go to Joseph. Go to St. Joseph with all your concerns and all your needs. And, I mean, he was an intercessor, and with the help of St. Joseph, great miracles happened, and he ended up building a little shrine to St. Joseph in Montreal, and then began construction on a gigantic one, which he never saw the completion of. He died before it was completed, but now that place is known as the world's largest church dedicated to St. Joseph, the Oratory of St. Joseph in Montreal, and I've been there twice, and I love that place.
Mm. As we continue through the book, we come to the second wonder, and you look at Joseph as our spiritual father. We also touched upon that last segment, and it begs a question that kind of popped in my head a little bit. Each of us obviously has a biological father, or we wouldn't be here. Why do we have a need for a spiritual father?
Yeah, well, basically, you know, because the new covenant is a new spiritual family, and so our Lord, again, gives us that example because, you know, he has God as his father. And yet when he became man and took on flesh and lived, you know, among us for 33 years, 30 of those years, he lived under the roof of St. Joseph. And so there's something to be said about having the perfect model of a father. And, you know, today we need that because I know myself and I know for many others, many of us, our fathers have been quite flawed, and, you know, they haven't given us the greatest example of virtue and what it means to be a true man. And it's just the sad times that we live in. And so if we go to St. Joseph, we've got the perfect father to teach us, to help us, to truly be who we were called to be.
Mm-hmm. Before we get too far, maybe we should backtrack a bit and talk about the consecration itself. Can you give us an overview of how that's set up, when people can start it, how you have certain dates where the consecration can begin, very similar to the consecration to Mary. Just looking for an overview of how this particular one works.
Yeah, so I just basically imitated the tried and true method of St. Louis de Montfort. who has his, you know, 33-day method of consecration to Mary. It's a really good way of doing it because it's not too long. If it was, you know, 3 months long, it'd just be too much. If it was only 5 days or something, it'd be too little. So every day for a month, you have a little reading. You pray the Litany of St. Joseph, and it takes about 15 minutes for an individual. And it can also be done as a group program. And by the end of that, you really do get a full grasp of who St. Joseph is and what makes him so wonderful. And then you conclude by entrusting, consecrating yourself to him and accepting him into your life as your spiritual father and asking him to be a daily part of your journey closer to Christ. And I think it's wonderful. I really think it's going to help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. And as both of us have a pretty significant social media following, I'm seeing a lot of great positive feedback on how people are starting to notice those changes as they're going through the consecration, which the most recent start date was the 1st.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. And there's a chart in the book that gives options for dates when you can start and end on. And, you know, it's usually good to end it on a day associated with St. Joseph or something about St. Joseph, like Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Knock, or Our Lady of Loretto, or All Saints Day. So there's a chart that provides good places there. But some people, they've told me, oh, Father, I wanted to end on my birthday. And I'm thought, well, that's nice, too. You know, that's, mm-hmm. that's a good way to do it, too. So, you know, there's many ways it can be done.
Absolutely. So in the third wonder of the second part of the book, you explore the debate on St. Joseph's age. And I personally am not a fan of the representations of Joseph as an elderly man. I think he was younger. Obviously, mm-hmm. this is a guy that had to take his wife and child to Egypt under duress circumstances. What evidence is there that Joseph was actually a younger man, and how did this representation of him as an older one even come to be?
Yeah, you know, it came to be because, and it was well-intentioned by many people in the early church, but what happened was they wanted to so emphasize the virginity of Mary, which is good, that they said, well, we need to depict him as an old man so that nobody has any concern that there was any kind of conjugal union there in their marriage, that there were, you know, any marital relations there or other children from that marriage. And so they depicted him as an old guy, and I mean really old, with basically a cane. And, you know, sometimes in the images he's asleep or almost dead. You know, it just looks horrible. So their intention was good, but the fruit of that was that that's what we got stuck with in our icons and statues and paintings for like 1800 years, basically. So nobody paid much attention to St. Joseph. Actually, I was just recently in the Holy Land, and I went to a store to buy an icon of St. Joseph. Now, this was a Christian store in the Holy Land, and they said, oh, no, we don't have those. They said, he's not a saint. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? So that just goes to show you, like, wow, we've really got a bad understanding of this here. So the reality is, like you mentioned, to do the things that he did, to be able to walk so much, I mean, to Egypt and work there and support his family. And then after they came back to the Holy Land from Egypt, he was required by Jewish tradition and law to walk to Jerusalem 3 times a year from Nazareth. And that is a serious walk. Mm-hmm. So no old man would be able to do these things. And many of the titles of St. Joseph indicate a younger man as well. I mean, he's the guardian of the Redeemer. He's the guardian of virgins. He's the pillar of families. He's the terror of demons. Those aren't titles you associate with an old man. Old men don't guard anything. So
right.
This is why many saints have said, you know, we really need to relook at this. Since, you know, this has never been a teaching of the church that he's old, we need to look at this from an anthropological perspective and see that there's no way he could have been an old man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you look at Joseph as a virgin father and a fourth wonder, you touch upon the visions of Venerable Mary Agreda. For those of us unfamiliar with her, what can you tell us about her and her writings and her visions?
Well, she's an incredible mystic from the 17th century. She was from Spain and just had extraordinary gifts. And she wrote an incredible volume on the Blessed Virgin Mary called The Mystical City of God. And so in there, she has a lot on St. Joseph as well. And so she talks, you know, about his greatness and just how virtuous he was and how loving he was and all that he did for Jesus and Mary. And so I've got a lot of great quotes from Venerable Mary Agreda in the book.
Mm-hmm. And you also bring up another mystic or visionary, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. I think some of us are probably familiar with her writings as they are related to the Passion of Christ, where Mel Gibson drew some of his inspiration from. What are some of the things she has to tell us about St. Joseph?
Yeah, she also is a mystic. You know, she was given extraordinary privileges to be able to be mystically transported, you know, back in time, so to speak, to be present at some of the events in the life of our Lord, our Lady, and St. Joseph. And one of my favorite ones is when she was present at the wedding of Mary and Joseph, and the way that it's described, just the loveliness, the purity, the holiness of that marriage, and even the wedding ring. She saw the wedding ring, and what's incredible, and I have this in the book, is that that wedding ring still exists. Mm. It's at a basilica in Perugia, Italy, and it's venerated there, mm-hmm. and it's still there to this day. I mean, that's just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing when you do a little research what all is really out there to discover.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take one more quick break. We'll be back to wrap our discussion up on the consecration to St. Joseph by Father Donald Calloway. We'll be right back.
Marriage is ordered between one man and one woman because, like God's love, it is called to be fruitful, open to life. Well, there's a lot of confusion in the culture today, but here is some clarity in the following beautiful quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 2335. Each of the two sexes is an image of the power and tenderness of God, with equal dignity, though in a different way. The union of man and woman in marriage is a way of imitating in the flesh the Creator's generosity and fecundity. End quote. Listen, be not afraid. Couples that are willing to live openness to life in their marriage will receive not only many spiritual benefits, but a very practical strengthening of their marriage. I'm Jim Littleton, formingfaithfulfamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We're spending it today with Father Donald Calloway speaking about his book, Consecration to St. Joseph, The Wonders of Our Spiritual Father. And we've been covering the second part of the book, The Wonders, which again, as you had mentioned, and I'll mention it as well, it's worthy of being its own standalone book. A lot of meat in that section. In the fifth wonder, which is titled Just and Reverent Man, you look at St. Joseph's observance of the Jewish law that he would have followed. What can we learn from Joseph when it comes to exercising our own faith as Catholics today?
Yeah, well, you can see, I mean, he was, you know, reverent. He was pious. I mean, he, you know, we call him the master of the interior life. You know, he lived with Jesus and Mary for 30 years. And I mean, he was in adoration, basically perpetual adoration. The depth that he went in his prayer life and turning his work into prayer, I mean, that's something we can all learn from, is to take God into everything that we do and bring God into everything that we do. And he's a great model for that.
For sure. And in the sixth wonder, as we move along here, this one really got my attention and kind of made me pause a bit. This one's titled Joseph, the Savior of the Savior. How was his role in that? It almost sounds odd saying that.
Yeah, I know. When I came across that, I too was like, wow, that sounds almost heretical. You know, what is that? But I read it in various saints. And so what they meant to say was that, you know, St. Joseph is not the savior in the sense of the Messiah or God or anything. He's mm-hmm. not. But he did save our Savior when he took Jesus to Egypt when Herod wanted to kill Jesus. So he saved our Savior. And so that's an extraordinary title that only he has. Actually, not even Our Lady has that title, because she's the great, you know, Theotokos, the mother of God, and she's on a different level entirely. I mean, she's much greater than Joseph and all the other saints, but not even she has that title, because it was Joseph in his fatherly role that saved the Savior from the wicked Herod. So it's something extraordinary, because if he did that for our Lord, then St. Joseph is willing to help us too, and help us to avoid the traps and the snares of the evil one that are being set for us as we live on this planet.
Mm-hmm. As we wind down today, we'll never be able to cover all these wonders or everything you've included in the book, but I wanted to highlight a couple more things. And one of the big ones is Joseph as a silent witness. We did talk about that a bit earlier. But in the eighth chapter, the eighth wonder of the book, you look at this mysterious staircase that was built in New Mexico. And can you tell us that story and why some believe it was the craftsmanship of St. Joseph that made that staircase possible?
Yeah, it's an incredible story. So a couple centuries ago in New Mexico, these sisters had a convent, and they wanted a new chapel built. So they hired a guy to build it, and he did. But when it was done, they realized they had no way to get to the loft. He didn't build a staircase, and so the only option was to use a ladder. And that's just, you know, for sisters who have a long habit, it's just really impractical. And so the guy died, the builder of the chapel, so they couldn't ask him to build a staircase. So they prayed to St. Joseph and said, we need help. We don't know what to do. And so all of a sudden, this mysterious man comes out of nowhere, and he says that he's willing to do it. And all he asks is that they allow him to work in quiet with no disturbances and, you know, just leave him alone, basically, to do it. And he does. And after it's done, he disappears. They never know who it was or where he went. And the staircase is a masterpiece. It's an architectural engineering marvel. There's no nails. It just looks like it shouldn't even be standing the right way that it's built. And it's still there to this day. And studies have been done on it that show that the wood that was used comes from the area in Israel of Nazareth. So it's unbelievable. And so I've been there. I've seen it. And it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
I mean, they actually say they don't understand how it's even stayed up. It should not be standing, much less walked on.
Right, it's a masterpiece. Yeah, it almost defies gravity and nature and science. You know?
So we've all likely heard of Joseph as patron of a happy death, but what exactly does that mean, and how can he help us with our eventual earthly passing, which you also cover as one of the wonders in this book?
Yeah, well, you know, he died the greatest death that you could possibly die, which is to die in the arms of Jesus and Mary. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And so, you know, the reality is that he's all of our personal patrons, because we're all going to die. I mean, there's no way around that. And so we need him, because we should want to die like he died, which means dying in the arms of our Lord and our Lady. And he can help us to do that if we strive to live in a state of grace, if we're doing our best to be faithful to God and not commit, you know, serious sins that would take us away from sanctifying grace, well, we can be assured that we're going to die a death similar than he did. So that's a great gift. I mean, I tell you, when I go, I want to be embraced by our Lord and by our Lady, just like St. Joseph was.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's probably something on all of our minds. But what, speaking as a priest and one that works with people, I think people tend to forget their death. It's that whole memento mori thing where it's something we should be focusing on, but they get so wrapped up in their day-to-day lives and the hustle and bustle of the world that they forget about that. What advice can you give people, particularly, you know, also when it comes to St. Joseph, how they can, you know, focus more spiritually on things rather than getting so wrapped up in worldliness?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to do because, you know, people in the day-to-day, they tend to just think about, you know, getting up, doing their job and doing the chores, paying the bills, and then going to bed at night. And before you're long, a day goes by, then years, then decades, and before you know it, you're 80 and you're about to, you know, end it. And so the key is to take the time to pray, because that's when you get reflective. That's when you realize that there's more to life than just the 9-to-5er here, and you got to be preparing for the afterlife. And that's where St. Joseph gives us that great example of placing the primacy on the interior life and prayer. So don't get so busy that I can't tell you how many people I've met that they say, Father, where did the time go? Where did the years go? Mm-hmm. And they realize they didn't spend enough time with their family. They didn't pray enough. And now they're very regretful of that. And I think St. Joseph helps us to remember, to not neglect the spiritual life, because in the end, it's actually what matters the most.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In the last one, or the 10th one in the book, you focus on Joseph as terror of demons. We touched upon that a bit when we were discussing about his age. This may be perhaps his greatest mission, I think, particularly in the times we find ourselves living in. What role do you see Joseph playing in these tumultuous times we're facing in our country, in our world, and in our church?
I think it's to get people back to the basics, because, you know, we live in a time when people are so confused that they don't even know what a marriage is anymore. They think that it's okay for two guys to get married or two women to get married. They're, you know, marriage has been redefined as modern families, and you've got people so confused they don't even know what their gender is. They don't know which bathroom to use. I mean, it's crazy out there. So with St. Joseph, you know, if you have a relationship with him, he's going to guide you closer to Jesus, you know, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so by getting close to St. Joseph, we're going to get closer to Jesus. And we're going to get true direction. We're going to get the light. We're going to get the truth of things. And that's what we need today, I think, more than ever, because, I mean, the world has gone so far astray right now that, you know, it's almost like the toothpaste is out of the tube. How do you put it back? You know, it's like we're so far gone. But this is where I think St. Joseph comes in, is, you know, we've got the saints. We've got Our Lady, you know, all this stuff. But there's one person we've been forgetting. And that's St. Joseph. I think if we bring him in as a good father, he's going to redirect our hearts. He's going to help us to turn things around. I really believe that.
And that would be fantastic. So you mentioned it took you 3 years from start to finish for this book. What's your greatest hope for it?
Yeah, I hope that it ultimately, you know, brings people closer to our Lord. Because, you know, in a Marian spirituality, we say, to Jesus through Mary, and that's awesome. You know, I love that. Now, I think we need to kind of live a spirituality to Jesus through Mary and Joseph, because of the crisis in families and masculinity and femininity. We need to bring him in, and I'm hoping that this book will help do that, that it'll supplement Marian consecration, and it'll bring St. Joseph into more families, homes, into our parishes. Let's bring in some beautiful statues and images of St. Joseph instead of these ones that are where he's 95 years old, you know. and let's turn things around.
Mm. So where can people find Consecration to St. Joseph, the Wonders of Our Spiritual Father?
Yeah, the best place to get it is on the website we designed specifically for the book. It's got the book and a lot of the commissioned art that comes with the book. And so the website is consecrationtosaintjoseph.org. And you have to, the word saint is just S-T, so you don't spell it out. So it's consecrationtosaintjoseph.org. You can get it at Catholic bookstores. Amazon has it, but they sold out, so they're going to be restocking. They'll have it again at some point. But yeah, consecrationtosaintjoseph.org is the best place.
All right, Father. Well, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and spending it with us. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, let's just all go to Joseph. Let's go as individuals, as families, as husbands and wives, and even I encourage my brother priest, if any of them are listening, let's bring St. Joseph into our parishes. Let's help people be renewed through the intercession of our great St. Joseph.
Excellent advice. And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Until next time, God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.